come and worship our God in heaven, to give him the praise that he deserves. Our desire is to do his will, to strive to become more like him. And so it's always a great privilege to have an opportunity to come and worship God, to strengthen one another as we seek to do his will. Appreciate the songs that Jerry led for us this morning. They're very compelling thoughts to think about, especially when you consider the benefits of drawing close to God. You know, I think one of the most compelling truths about our God whom we serve is that though he is so great and so awesome, so powerful, so pure, and so holy, is that he desires to come close to us, to have fellowship with sinful people. Such a compelling thought. In fact, in James chapter 4 and verse 8, James gives us the remarkable promise that if we will draw near to God, he will draw near to us. What a promise, what strength this produces in each one of us, what comfort and assurance this gives us, that a God who is so pure, so holy, so exalted, wants intimate fellowship with one who is so weak and so sinful and so frail. And this passage in James chapter 4, which is on the screen, at least the reference to it is going to be the text for this lesson this morning. I want to suggest to you that this passage, as we'll look at that here in a little bit, is to understand that there's both a charge in this passage and a promise. The charge is to draw near to God. The promise is if we draw near to him, then he will draw near to us. So let's consider some of the benefits of this powerful principle of that we're talking about this morning. So the challenge for all of us and the songs that we sang this morning encourage us to do that. We want to get closer to God, closer, more intimate with God. And sometimes it's a scary thought when I look at my weaknesses, my struggles, my fears, my failures. I feel so different from God. And yet, he wants that intimacy. He wants us to be close to him. And so let's focus on the benefits, even though we realize it's sometimes a difficult task to draw close to God, recognizing how great he is and how weak we are. But he wants fellowship with us, and he wants to strengthen us so that we can do his will. So let's think about the benefits that come to us when we do what James tells us to do. James gives that promise. If we will draw near to God, he will draw near to you and me. Remarkable promise with tremendous benefits that we can receive from that. There are 6 points that I want us to notice this morning from this principle. And you might be actually looking at Revelation chapter 1 and verses 12 through 17. We'll look there first. But I want to suggest to each one of us that the closer you get to God, the greater he becomes, the more awesome he becomes. We need to recognize that principle. And again, to put that in simple language, the closer we get to God, the bigger, the wiser, the more powerful he becomes. When we draw close to him, we are made to realize his awesome power. Anytime you visit one of the national parks, or years ago flew over the Grand Canyon, it's an impressive sight. Have never had the chance to walk down into that, but the closer you get to these places are very inspiring. Years ago, we went to Stone Mountain in Georgia. From a distance, it was impressive. But when you get right up close, you're just awestruck with how great, how powerful our Creator is. Look at this passage in Revelation chapter 1 and notice John's response to this vision that he was given concerning the glorified Christ. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 12, we'll begin. It says, then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me, and having turned, I saw 7 golden lampstands. And in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to his feet, and girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were white, like white wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze when it has been made to glow in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held 7 stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in its strength. So John's going to be giving these messages to the 7 churches of Asia, and he sees an image, a vision of the glorified Christ, glowing, radiant, powerful, beyond comprehension. And John sees this vision of the glorified Christ who overcame death, who overcame suffering and all of that, to sit at God's right hand, and Jesus is going to give him these messages to encourage the churches of Asia, Asia Minor there. What was John's response when he saw this glorified Christ, when he came close to God? What happened when John came close to God in this passage? In verse 17, he said, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. And he placed his right hand on me, saying, 'Do not be afraid. I'm the first and the last,' and we can go there." But the point is, when John got that close to Jesus Christ, the glorified Christ, got that close to God, he basically passed out. Because that's how great God is. He is awesome. There's not even any words, not only in my vocabulary, limited as it may be, or your vocabulary, to describe him. And when John came face to face with God, he fell face first on the dust of the earth. He realized how awesome God is. We have to spend time getting close to God, brethren. We've got to spend time seeing his greatness, his power. You can see that in creation, but see that in his word. And I think there's a reason why John was given this vision of the glorified Christ in Revelation chapter 1. These churches of Asia and these Christians were being persecuted beyond comprehension. They were being put to death. It looked like the devil had the upper hand. And so John was going to get a message from the glorified Christ that says, "I am victorious. I am the first and the last. There's no one like me." And when God gives a message, when Jesus gives that kind of message, it's a life-changing message. And the challenge again is for us to draw closer and closer to God. If we need strength for our trials, and all of us do, then what we need to be doing is make that effort to get close to God. Because the closer, again, this is a very basic promise that James is giving us, the closer, if we will draw close to God, he will draw close to us. And so the closer we draw to God, the bigger, the wiser, the more powerful he becomes, the more awesome he becomes. Well, conversely, when we draw close to God, what happens to us? When we come that close to a God so powerful, so pure, so holy, we feel so utterly insignificant. Even though sometimes we think, "Well, I'm really smart. I graduated from college and I got this degree and I'm doing this in my life and I've got this skill. I can shoot a basketball or whatever it is that you can do." And God has given all of us gifts and talents. When we get close to God, we're just nothing. And as we said this morning in our class, it's all to God's glory. Whatever gifts he's given us and grace he showered on us is for his praise and for his will to be accomplished. And so, again, we think about what we've been singing about this morning and in this lesson. The closer you get to our great and awesome God, the littler we become, the smaller, the less intelligent, the more insignificant we become. Just like John, when he came into the presence of the glorified Christ, he just fell at his feet as a dead man. Look at some passages here in Psalm chapter 8. What does the psalmist say? In a very familiar passage, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" So the psalmist is doing the same thing that we do. We go to these mountains, the Rocky Mountains or the Smoky Mountains or wherever it may be, and we look at how great and how powerful God's creation is and how vast the stars are. Can't even count them with the best calculator on earth. You can't even count them. And when you look at that, you say, "What is me? What is little old me? We're here for just a few days and we're gone. We go into the dust of the earth." And so that's what happens when we get close to God. When we draw close to him, we realize how little we are. And it teaches us to be humble in spite of accomplishments that we have and gifts that we've been given, that have been given to us from him, for him, for his praise and for his honor. And so that's what the psalmist said. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, this is a well-known verse of scripture. Isaiah, God speaking through Isaiah, says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And again, as human beings, it's so easy to be filled with pride because of some intelligence that we might have or some gifts that we've been given. But when you compare yourself to God, his wisdom, intelligence is so vastly superior. There is no comparison. There isn't any. He gave us our minds. He wants us to use them for his praise. But that's what it says here. As far as the heavens are above the earth, that's how much higher God is than we are. And His ways are higher than ours. And so again, the benefit of drawing close to God, we see His greatness, but we see our littleness. We see our dependency upon Him. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, in verses 23 through 25, Peter talks about being born again through the Word of God. He makes that statement in verse 24 about our lives. He says, "For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of a grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever." What a compelling thought to think about. That we've been born again through the Word of God by loving loving Him and obeying His will. In contrast to that, as human beings, we are just nothing in comparison to Him. He said, all flesh is like grass. And how enduring is grass? I mean, it's pretty for a little while. If you fertilize it and water it, it may look good for a while. Sooner or later, it goes dormant. It dies. That's us. That's us. And so, it's a reminder. When you look at God, His Word endures forever. We're going to the earth. We're going to the ground shortly. By faith in Christ and obedience to His will, we can be with Him forever. And that's what my plan is, and I hope that's what your plan is well. But our fleshly bodies are going to the earth before too long. So you look at Scripture, life is compared to a vapor, a shadow, a flower, or a jar of clay. So again, the closer we get to God, the more aware we are of how utterly insignificant we are. Let's look at a third lesson I think that we need to understand from this principle. And that is to say, the closer you get to God, the more you realize His absolute holiness, His utter holiness. The world as we know it doesn't see God as one who is holy. Unfortunately, even Christians sometimes don't see God in His absolute holiness. But I want to tell you, we'll look at a passage in Isaiah chapter 6 in just a minute. When you draw close to God, this is the only thing that you see is His utter holiness. If you can get face to face with God, all you would see and feel is holiness. And that's what Isaiah experienced. Look at this passage in Isaiah chapter 6 and verses 1 through 5. Again, this is a familiar passage to many of us. Isaiah has an encounter with God, receives a vision of God. God's people are in need. They need correction, instruction. God needs someone to go there and do that. And so Isaiah would ultimately respond that way. But notice, before he gets the commission, the call to go to these people, in verse 1, Isaiah said this, in the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with a train of His robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above Him, each having six wings. With two He covered His face, and with two He covered His feet, and with two He flew. And one called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of Him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. Then I said, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Isn't it interesting that every time one of God's servants gets a close encounter with God and receives a vision of God, it's the same thing? They fall to the ground, just awestruck by His power, but also awestruck by His holiness. And so you look at this context over here, that while the nation of Israel is in a downward spiritual spiral, their king is dead, Uzziah is dead, God is still in control, and the true King rules from His heavenly throne. That's what God's telling us through this passage. It's a positive message of assurance that God is the supreme ruler, and He is absolutely holy. And He does not tolerate unholiness. He gives us grace for our weaknesses if we come into union with Him through Jesus Christ. But God, the God that we serve, is a holy God. And I think that's why in this passage, the seraphim used two of their wings to cover their faces, because they cannot look at God's glory and holiness. They're covering their eyes because they cannot gaze at God. It would be too powerful an experience. You think about their activity. So here are these seraphim around the throne of God. They're flying through the heavens. What's their message? What's their message? Holy, holy, holy is God. That's all they say. When you come face to face with God, that's all you'll know. Is He's absolutely, utterly holy. And He wants us to become like Him. So it's beneficial for us to spend more time drawing closer and closer to God. Well, let's look at a fourth point that I want us to gather from this message this morning. Again, conversely, the closer we get to God, we not only see His utter holiness, we realize our utter sinfulness in comparison to Him. So again, you look back in Isaiah chapter 6, all Isaiah could see when he saw God was a holy God. But when he looked at his own life, all he could feel was his utter sinfulness. In verse 5, then I said, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And so when Isaiah looked at our holy God, all he could really say is, I am unclean, I am a sinner. What a sinful man I am. And that's all that anybody could say, even good people who came face to face with God. Because I don't care how good you might be, and we want to strive to be righteous and holy people. But when human beings, even good people, even prophets like Isaiah, came face to face with the holy God, all they could say was, I'm sinful. That's all they could say. They could say, I praise God, and they recognize His greatness. But that's what happens when we come face to face with God. We see this in a different, you may not expect this in this context, but Jesus came to His disciples. They've been fishing all night. They hadn't caught any fish. And He tells them to let down their nets, and they do that. And they caught so many fish that the boat began to sink. In verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. What a response. Remarkable response to just catching all these fish. They're trying to get fish for food and all of that. They fished all night. They didn't catch any fish. Jesus says, let down your nets and you're going to get all kinds of fish. And Peter said, Lord, I fished all night. Haven't caught anything, but at your will, I will do it. He does it. Lets down the nets. Cast so many fish that the nets begin to break. And then he looked at that moment and what did he say? Well, thank you, Lord. Great to get all these fish. Wow, you're powerful. No, what did he say when he came face to face with deity? Depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Because when you come face to face with deity, that's the response. And that's what Peter did. And notice though, practically, so Jesus is trying to enlist these men to be followers. He wants disciples to spread the word. And when they saw this, what happened with the catch of fish, what was their response at the last verse over there? They left everything. They left everything. They left everything and followed Him. Wow. Because He's a holy God. And He's about saving souls. And so the closer we get to God, the more we realize our own sinfulness. A couple of the points this morning I want us to think about. And this is such a remarkable principle. The closer you draw to God, and that's the challenge for each one of us, and we recognize it's somewhat difficult because we're so different in so many ways from God, and we see His greatness, His power, His holiness. We recognize our own weaknesses. But the closer you draw to God, remarkably, the closer He draws to you. And that's what James says in James chapter 4. In verse 8, I put this up on the screen, and back in verse 6, it says that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And so he said, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And so, again, it's a reminder that if we will draw close to God, he will, in fact, come close to us. We can stand in his presence. because of the blood of Christ. And as we just celebrated the Lord's Supper, reminding ourselves of what Jesus did on our behalf. But it is a reminder that drawing near to God is our choice, is our decision. We have to do that by conscious effort, by prayer and Bible study and worship. And really, we can get as close to God as we want to be, or we can be as distant from God as we want to be. The choice is ours. But when we draw close to God, He draws close to us, and ultimately He gives us strength for our trials to overcome the difficulties that we may face. Look at the statement that the psalmist made in Psalm 73 when he was talking about looking at the success and the prosperity of the wicked. He almost despaired. He said he finally came to his senses when he came into the house of worship. He said, "For behold, those who are far from you will perish. You have destroyed all those who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. Getting close to God is my strength," he said. "I have made the Lord God my refuge." And so we recognize that principle that when we draw near to God, a powerful, loving, compassionate, holy God, He draws near to us and wraps His powerful arms around us, strengthening us as we face the trials and temptations of this life. And again, it's our choice. And sometimes people say, "Well, I don't feel as close to God as I should be." I remember seeing this quotation when I was in the Philippines as a young sailor, and I took this home with me on a plaque. It says, "When the Lord seems far away, guess who moved? It wasn't Him. He didn't move, we move." And so if we want to be close to God, then we need to make the decision, conscious decision, to draw close to Him. One other point this morning, and then we'll review the lesson. Again, as we think about the idea of drawing close to God, such a powerful principle, the closer you get to God, the more you become like Him. And really in that class, our class this morning on giving, God is the most generous giver, and it's ultimately wanting us to become like Him. Yes, we want to be liberal and sacrificial, but it's not just as a checklist to do. He wants us to become like Him. The closer you get to God, the more you become like Him. Notice a couple of verses over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. This is the ESV. Paul said over here in verse 18, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." I like how the ESV translates that. Do you see what that says? When you behold God and you look at God and come close to God, it says that when we behold His glory, we are being changed or transformed into the same image. The closer you get to God, the more you become like Him. And that means we got to spend time getting close to God, because I still got a long way to go to become more and more like Him. But that's the promise. When we get see God, behold Him, think about Him, we're transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. And again, I like how that is worded. It's just a reminder that as we gaze at God's glory and His holiness and spend time in His Word, that's why we stress so much here at Broadmoor the idea of reading God's Word. Some plan every day, whether it's reading through the whole Bible or the New Testament or the Old Testament or whatever it is, spending time in God's Word, because every day we can become more and more like Him in a little bit. We're not going to be changed radically overnight. But the more you look at God, the closer you get to God, slowly and incrementally you become like Him. That is the goal, to become more and more like Him. This is taught in several places. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 12 through 15, this is in the context of the gifts that God has given to His church. And the ultimate goal there is that we are to grow up in every way into Him, that's Jesus Christ. We are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. What a challenge that I can be just like Jesus Christ, and I have to confess, brethren, I got a long way to go. We have to be transparent about that. I've got a ways to go. But the goal is clear, that I can be like Christ. You can be like Jesus Christ. That is the goal, to become just like Him. I recognize that we'll never get there, to be absolutely sinless, and that's not humanly possible. But the goal is to become like Him. And the more you think about Jesus Christ, the more you read His Word, listen to His promises, and incorporate those, impress those promises into your heart, you become more and more like Him. In fact, you go back, it says early on, verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to the mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Jesus is the goal. His knowledge is the goal. His example is the goal. And I'm saying the closer you get to God, the more you become like Him. And that means we have to spend time with God, with God's people, with God's Word, and making that the number one priority of our lives. Because one day we're going to be with Him, and we're not going to... God is looking for people who will partake of His character. And the thing about going to heaven is not like He's going to grab a bunch of rough, sinful people and be somehow transported to heaven. We'd be out of place if that was the case. The whole thing that's going on when we obey the gospel, we're baptized for the remission of our sins, we're washed in the blood of Christ, we become transformed slowly into becoming more and more like Him, so that on that great day, we will be with Him forever, because we will be more and more like Him. So again, it's a reminder that the closer we get to God, to Jesus Christ, the more we become like Him. So here, by way of review this morning, the closer you get to God, the more awesome He becomes, the more insignificant we become, the more we realize His utter holiness, the more we feel our own sinfulness, the closer He gets to us, and the closer we get to God, the more we become like Him. And so the question that we want to leave as we extend the invitation this morning is this question: are you moving closer to God, or are you moving further away from Him? And that's a question that each of us have to ask. But it's a good question, and really we're going to be moving in one of two directions. We're either moving closer to God, or we're moving away from God. And if we're struggling with that, moving away from God, then we've got to come back to Him. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, you've been walking away, moving away from God, we're here to help you obey the gospel of Christ through faith, repentance, confession of that faith and baptism. Or it may be that if you're struggling and have been moving away from God in your own faith, that you need the prayers of this congregation, we are here to pray with you, to pray alongside of you. If there's any way that we can encourage you, come forward while we stand and sing this invitation song.